morning, good afternoon, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the conference call. Our chairperson today is Mr. James Chen. James, please begin your call and I'll be standing by for the Q&A session. Thank you.
Mobile conference call. Before I start our presentation, I would like to direct your attention to our disclaimer page, which states the information contained in this presentation, including all forward-looking information, is subject to change without notice. Whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise, and Taiwan Mobile undertakes no obligation to update or revise the information contained in this presentation. No representation or warranty, either expressed or implied, is provided in relation to accuracy, completeness, or reliability of the information contained herein. Nor is the information intended to be a complete statement of the company, markets, or developments referred to in this presentation. Okay, first of all, I would like to have a business overview of our first quarter. In the next few slides, I would like to highlight our growth area. First, on the mobile business, on a like-for-like basis, with our peers, Taiwan Mobile mobile service revenue in the first quarter was up 5% year-on-year, attributed to an increase in ARPU. TWM continued to lead the pack with the highest ARPU for the fifth consecutive quarters. This is a credit to the healthy growth of momentum in mobile data and content decline in voice revenue. Regarding our smartphone strategy, the consumer's choice for the smartphone has been very polarized into high-end and entry-level models. Thus, we have introduced over 10 models of our own brand, mid to low-end smartphones, with their sales volume ranking fifth in the market for this quarter. In the first quarter year 2014, total smartphone sales volume was up 26% from a year ago and accounted for 93% of total handsets sold. Therefore, mobile data adoption rate went up to 56% on the postpaid install basis from 45% a year ago. This lead to a 25% YOY growth in the mobile data revenue in the first quarter. Let's see the next view graph is regarding the cable TV business. As indicated in the table, our internet subscriber bases increase of 5% and DTV, digital TV customer base growth of 64%, were both higher than the 1% subscriber rise in analog TV services in the first quarter year 2014, representing the trend of an expanding take-up rate of two or three services. Next view graph. In the first quarter 14, Momo's revenue increase was greatly attributed to a solid 27% YOY revenue growth in the online shopping business. On the EBITDA front, Momo's EBITDA in the online shopping business grew around 90% YOY, credit to a better product mix and margin expansions. EBITDA in the TV home shopping services stabilized due to a mild increase in revenue and cost-cutting measures. For the unprofitable physical channel, Momo has announced the sales of this cosmetic store on March 28th, year 2014. Accordingly, in the P&L, this has been reclassified as the discontinued operations. As a result, Momo registered a 35% YOY increase in EBITDA on an expanding margin of 5.6% for the quarter from 4.8% a year ago. Let's turn to the financial overview section. In terms of performance by business in the first quarter year 2014, telecom revenue was up by 3% YOY due to a 23% data revenue increase and another 6% rise in handset sales revenue. Its EBITDA YOY change turned positive with a 2% YOY increase after a 2% YOY decline a quarter ago, benefit from a saving as a result of expense discipline. Thanks to a 61% YOY revenue growth in the DTV business and the content cost and expense in the first quarter, year 2014, HBG, Home Business Group, saw a YOY increase in EBITDA and expanding EBITDA margin. As mentioned in the previous page, Momo's strong EBITDA growth came from a virtual channel expanding business scale and loss reduction from the sales of the physical channel. In the last year, first quarter of 2014, consolidated EBITDA recorded a healthy YOY growth with half of the increase come from the telecom business and the rest largely from the Momo. Let me turn the presentation over to Rosie for the income statement, balance sheet, and the cash flow analysis.
Good afternoon. Let's look at the results summary. In the first quarter, we reported total revenue of $27.7 billion, EBITDA of $7.8 billion, and an EPS of 1.52 NT dollars. On a year-on-year basis, in addition to the revenue growth drivers James just went through, the expense discipline implemented across all divisions also contributed to the 3% year-on-year increase in consolidated EBITDA in the first quarter. Non-operating expense declined year-on-year due to a lesser asset write-off loss and a one-off gain from the disposal of an unused parcel of land by TSN. As a result, our net income was up by 7% year-on-year for the quarter. In terms of guidance achievement rate, our first quarter consolidated EBITDA was ahead of our guidance by 4% due to lower than expected telecom costs and higher than expected profits from Momo. On the non-operating front, interest expenses came in much lower than our expectations due to the lower than expected interest rate we negotiated. So our first quarter net income was ahead of our forecast by 4%. Now let's turn to the balance sheet. On the asset front, inventories decreased quarter on quarter on faster turnover for mobile business in the quarter. For your information, Taipei New Horizon, our 49.9% held subsidiary, has been consolidated into Taiwan Mobile's financials since February 21st this year, because our chairman has concurrently been the chairman of Taipei New Horizon since then. The quarter-on-quarter increase in other non-current assets was a reflection of Taipei New Horizon's 7.46 billion super species granted by the government. On a year-on-year basis, in addition to Taipei New Horizon, the rise in this account was a result of the 29 billion 4G spectrum fee paid in the fourth quarter last year. On the liabilities and shareholders' equity front, despite the inclusion of Taipei New Horizons net debt of $2.6 billion, Taiwan Mobile's consolidated net debt decreased to $40.45 billion from $42.84 billion a quarter ago, due largely to the repayment of some short-term borrowing. Other non-current liabilities increased arising from Taipei New Horizons payables to the government related to the super DCs and payables to the contractors. So let's turn to the cash flow analysis. The first quarter operating cash flow decreased quarter on quarter mainly because the employee bonuses booked in the fourth quarter of last year was paid in this quarter. Compared to a year ago, a large handset payment made in the first quarter of last year resulted in a higher cash outflow a year ago. In contrast to a big jump in investment in the new mobile spectrum in the fourth quarter of last year, investment cash outflow was a mere $1 billion in the first quarter of this year. Our first quarter net investing cash outflow mainly comprised of, firstly, the $2.27 billion in cash capex, and secondly, $1.19 billion in cash included arising from the consolidation of Taipei New Horizons. Our first quarter cash capex was mainly for expanding wireless capacity and continuously procuring set-up boxes to boost DTV penetration. With regard to financing activities in the first quarter, the reduction in investing cash outflow allowed us to repay $8.66 billion of short-term borrowings in the quarter. Let me turn the mic back to James for second quarter guidance and board resolution.
Okay. We expect the second quarter total revenue will be up about 6% year-on-year basis, mainly driven by the increase in the handset sales and the MoMo revenue. The EBITDA increase from the cable TV and MoMo forecast to mitigate pressure on telecom EBITDA resulting from rising operation OPEX related to the 80s, more 3G and 4G base stations and the company direct store for this quarter. Taiwan Mobile's total DNA reflecting expanding telecom and digital TV business is expected to weigh on profit in the second quarter. As you can see, let's turn to the next page. As you can see from the upper portion of the slide, Taylor Van Board has approved a proposal to distribute last year dividend of NT$5.6 per share, translating into a 97% payout rate to the shareholder, pending AGM's approval. Regarding the lower portion of the slide, the board also approved additional capex budget for NT$0.8 billion for the year 2014, bringing the revised full-year capex to NT$13.6 billion. Well, the final page will be the page of event update, just for your reference. TWN has obtained the system technology validation approval for the rollout of 4G base station from NCC and has also filed an application for the 4G commercial launch. And it seems to me the NCC, the process this time is quite, it's very quick. So we can expect the operational license will be obtained probably a little bit earlier than we expect. Our original plan was probably in the July time frame. But my personal view could be as early as maybe end of May, we will obtain the operational license. To wrap up our presentation, this slide just summarizes the key message that we would like to deliver. The LTE network deployment expected services offerings and handset availability has been very promising. TWN is aiming to maintain operating stability in the near term and, as always, to ensure shareholders' returns. This just about all I would say this evening, and the next section will be Q&A. So anybody would like to raise any questions, and we will be delighted to answer your question.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now poll for questions. Should you have any question, please press star 1 on your telephone. Thank you. Our first question comes from Ben from Credit Suisse in Singapore. Please go ahead. Thank you.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you very much for the opportunity to ask the questions. Also, congratulations on the result. The first question is regarding your LTE commercial license that you have already filed application for the commercial launch, and probably it's going to come, as you say, earlier than expected. Does it mean that you can you now targeting to launch the service as soon as the license is out, or is there any other prerequisite before that?
The criteria to obtain the operational license is really low. You know, is in general like a 350 base station approval, then you will get the operational license. However, that kind of the coverage will not be able to have the commercial launch. So what TWN would do is we will still target at July to have officially commercial launch. And during this period of time, like a month or maybe month and a half, we will probably like to invite our friendly user or subscriber to have a trial of the 4G services. And then in July, we will start to our official commercial launch.
That is very fair. Just a little bit follow-up questions on the back of that. In the commercial launch, am I right in thinking that there's nothing to do with tariff? So you have not submitted the tariff plan for approval. And again, just to check whether your tariff plans before approval would require any form of approval from NCC at all.
Well, actually, that's one of the requirements. You have to submit the tariff plan to the NCC in order to get an operational license. So we did submit a preliminary tariff plan. However, that doesn't mean when we start to launch our commercial launch our services, the tariff plan will become more solid.
Right, so there's still room for adjustment before you actually commercial launch compared to what you already submitted.
Yeah.
Okay, just last question from me. Is there any statistic you can share in terms of mobile data usage? What's the average smartphone data usage now on your network, and also maybe the rough percentage of subscribers who actually use maybe more than 3 gig?
But right now, I think the data adoption rate for our TWN is like 56%. Okay. And in terms of smartphone handset, I think it's reached as high as 93%, I think, last month. So we expect the smartphone subscriber will reach to 95% probably this month. In terms of the traffic usage will be around 3G per sub. Or I would expect when we start to launch the 4G, we'll reach to 4G in the beginning. So that's my estimation.
Right. What's the percentage of your smartphone subscriber base actually use more than 3 gig a month? Like half of the base are using
I don't have this figure with me right now. But the average is 3G, so I can expect quite a lot is over the 3G. But again, I don't have the a very solid number for you.
Okay, understand. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, should you have any questions, please press star 1 on your telephone. Thank you. Our next question comes from Sydney Jiang from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Thank you.
Hi, thank you, management, for the opportunity to ask a question. I have questions just reading the news today, or maybe previously, it's talking about Taiwan Mobile and Honghai are interested in to cooperate with each other. Can you elaborate on, you know, what kind of a cooperation you would like to have and any, you know, potential, you know, what kind of partnership, cooperation you have? The second question is also on the spectrum swap with the Far EasTone. Any progress? Can you comment? Thank you.
Yes, in response to your first question, we do have the cooperation with the Honghai, but so far it's mainly in the handset cooperation because Honghai is very good good at the manufacturing, especially for the 700 band handset. So initially, I think when we start to launch the service, they are going to provide one or two low to mid end handset for us. So that's what we have. That's our progress at this point. In response to your second question is the spectrum swap with the Far EasTone. We still under negotiation right now. There's no further comment on it, but we expect hopefully we will reach some consensus in the very near future.
Okay, thank you. Can I just add on the first question where you any indication you get from Apple on, you know, whether the iPhone 6 will support 700 megahertz?
No, we don't have any information at this point. But one good news is the for the 700 band handset, I think the ecosystem is much better than I initially expected. Because right now, when we start to launch the service in July time frame, I would expect we will have 11 handsets and 4 tablet available. And mainly for this, from the this 11 handset, mainly is from the Samsung and HTC, Sony, and also our own brand, Amazing. And also some LG may have one handset. So the in terms of the handset availability, is much better than I expect in the beginning of the year. So it's this good.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Danny Chu from Macquarie in Hong Kong. Thank you.
Hi. Thank you for the management for the presentation. Just two quick questions. The first question actually is with regards to the guidance given for second quarter, management is guiding for a 10% year-on-year decline in the earnings. And I read in the management report, it was mentioned that because of the D&A increase reflecting expanding telecom and digital TV business. Should I assume part of the increase in the D&A is because the company will begin to depreciate the 4G fixed asset in second quarter? And related to that is given like second quarter, company is already guiding for 10% year-on-year decline in net profit. And given second half, if we assume 4G network is commercialized and then sales and market expense may go up, does it mean that the net profit actually will even drop more severe in second half of this year? And the second question actually is related to the first question. It's given now company is giving guidance on a quarterly basis. Like, does it mean because kind of like the 4G business actually kind of like, I mean, lower the visibility of the business, or like, I mean, going forward, once 4G services launch and then company will revert back to the previous practice of providing annual guidance? Thank you.
Well, in terms of the second quarter guidance, you just mentioned 10% decline. I think mainly is the we are installed the 4G base station, and the OPEC is already start to generate a lot of OPEC. For instance, the base station, the lease, the rent, and electricity, and all kind of OPEC were. And meanwhile, we also increase. In the first quarter and second quarter, a lot of 3G base station. As you may notice, when we started the 4G services, because of the coverage and also the voice has to circuit fall back to the 3G, so we still have to enhance our 3G coverage. And that increased quite a lot on the OPEX. And meanwhile, as I just mentioned, the 4G operational license, we might get a little bit earlier than we expect. So in the second quarter, we might, probably in the June time frame, we have to amortize our spectrum already, even though we do not start to have commercial launch. But once you get an operational license, you have to amortize your spectrum. And that's one of the main reason that will explain the your response to your first question. What's your next second question? I forget.
The second question is with regards to.
Oh, you said like the third quarter and fourth quarter over even decline.
Yeah.
There's a possibility because you have more and more 4G base station and more OPEC will generate, and the revenue as initial, you know, I think that the DNA will increase significant. And secondly, is the revenue generating is not proportional to your CapEx. As you know, in the beginning, when you start to launch your 4G services, your subscriber won't be that significant. The revenue from the 4G is not that significant, can offset your OPEX. So that's, I would expect in the third quarter will be a little bit worse, maybe a little bit worse. But again, it's hard to say because we have a very strict expense discipline. So that might reduce, I don't know, but that can be expected. In the fourth quarter, when we will expect to gain a little bit more 4G subscriber. We expect from the third quarter and the fourth quarter altogether, we will have about 500,000 4G subscriber, and that will probably generate a little bit of revenue too. So the fourth quarter guidance probably a little bit better, but the third quarter will be probably the worst.
So if I may follow up on that is now. Would it be possible, say, when the company announces the interim results, say, in late July, that the company will revert back to its previous practice of providing guidance on a full-year basis? Or the company will adopt this new practice of providing only quarterly guidance going forward?
Well, this year, we basically will still follow our quarterly guidance. I mean, there's no plan right now to announce the annual guidance at this point because a lot of dependency is still there. It's just in terms of the 4G deployments, the progress, and as well as the new subscriber acquisition, a lot of dependency there. So we still will follow our quarterly guidance.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. James, we have no further questions at this point in time. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.